relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
People say Ron's all Trump, but he is so much more.
Big league. So good.
I just thought you should know.
Now that's a campaign ad I can get behind. That's from Ron DeSantis. I saw that on Twitter yesterday. But it's not just fun and games. It's serious as well. The Florida governor has suspended all local COVID emergency orders. Why? Because it's time to get back to work. And we need more Trumpian candidates who are actually citizen politicians and who believe in America First and making America great again. And we're delighted to have one of us with us from the northerly tip of New York, right up by the Adirondacks, a woman who was a hero during the fake impeachment last year. She is New York 21st Congressional Representative Elise Stefanik. Welcome to America First.
Great to be with you, Sebastian.
So I got to ask, first things first, kudos on you know, stepping up and being truthful last year, not allowing the propagandists to get the better of you. After your experience and your time in Congress, and we're going to talk about the news of Liz Cheney and conference votes next week. I asked you this in the break, and I want our millions of listeners and viewers to hear what you said. Are there any normal, reasonable Democrats on Capitol Hill who you can really sit down and just talk to about America's needs?
It is getting increasingly hard to find any reasonable Democrat. This is the farthest left Democratic majority America has ever seen. It is a march towards socialism. You have voices like AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, who are running the Democratic Party. They are talking about tax increases, trillions of dollars of new taxes, and Joe Biden goes right along with them. You have them advocating for the Green New Deal, which is not just a takeover of our economy, but it's a takeover of our society and our culture and will cost every hardworking American family. So it's very hard to find center and middle of the road Democrats. We beat most of them because Republicans are going to win those swing voters. And I believe we're going to fire Nancy Pelosi because they've gone so far to the left.
Well, it's a razor-thin margin in the House. One of the individuals who voted against Donald Trump, who colluded with the Democrats, is, of course, Liz Cheney, who wrote a piece in the Washington Post, her latest piece, saying that, well, the Republican Party, you know, it's in trouble because it's becoming a personality cult around Donald Trump. What is the power relationship between rhinos like Liz Cheney and people like yourself who want to put America first? Who's winning in the MAGA versus anti-MAGA camp? Are the good guys winning, Congresswoman?
I think the American people are winning, and the voters are speaking loudly and clearly. President Trump is the leader and the voice of the Republican Party. He turned out and earned more votes than any other Republican candidate in our nation's history. So I look to the voters in my district, and they want someone who stands up for them, for their concerns, and the Make America Great Again agenda. They also want a strong leader who is a unifying voice, who will fight back against the corrupt media and the far left. That is the job of the conference chair of the House Republicans, is to be a unifying voice, to share our conservative America First message, and to win the majority in 2022. And that's why I'm running, to unify, and so that our voters have someone they can count on.
Well, Rep. Scalise, Minority Whip, who is a regular guest on the show, has come out, and he is very, very on board with replacing Liz Cheney with you, Elise Stefanik. We had Matt Boyle, the best-connected political writer here in D.C., just moments ago in the last hour say, it's happening, Cheney is gone, and it's going to be you on Wednesday. God willing, it will be you who takes that chair position in the conference. If that's the case, let me ask you the question Matt wanted to put to you. What is the difference in how you are going to chair the conference from how Liz Cheney has been chairing it?
Well, I think, first of all, the job of the conference chair is to represent the majority of the House Republicans. The vast majority of the House Republicans support President Trump, and they also support his focus on election integrity and election security. They support his focus on standing up for the American worker and fighting on behalf of the middle class, and especially the blue-collar workers who feel left behind, and also going on offense when it comes to fighting back against the socialism we see coming from President Biden and Speaker Pelosi. That is a unifying message. The job of the conference chair is not to attack fellow members of the conference and attack President Trump. It's to unify so that our voters know that they can count on us to deliver results and win back the majority and take the gavel away from Nancy Pelosi once and for all.
She represents the 21st Congressional District of New York. Follow her right now, Rep. Stefanik, and also Elise Stefanik on Twitter. What is your message to those in that beautiful northern part of New York, or to all Americans amongst the 74 million who voted for my old boss, Donald Trump, who you see their comments, Congresswoman. You see it on social media, the callers we get on this show, the DMs, the emails, who say, that's it. I've given up. I've given up on the Republican Party. I've given up on ever voting again because they stole the last election and they'll do it again. What do you say to those who simply feel intimidated and feel like giving up?
We cannot give up. The future of our country is at stake, and the future of the American dream is at stake. We need every patriotic American to vote and to make their voices heard. We are seeing a culture of cancellation from the left trying to silence us. We cannot back down. And when it comes to election integrity and election security, it's Republicans who are going to put forth voter ID, make sure that we have chain of custody when it comes to absentee and mail-in ballots, supporting the audit in Arizona to make sure that there's transparency and answers for the American people. And most importantly, continuing to push on the unconstitutional overreach in certain states like Pennsylvania, where unelected judges unilaterally change the election law without going through the state legislatures. These are valid, important questions and issues that the American people deserve policy proposals and answers on. And that's what I'm committed to. But we cannot lose the faith. We need to work together as a team. And the only way we win back the gavel from Nancy Pelosi and put a stop to Joe Biden's agenda is if we unify. And that's what the focus of the conference chair for House Republicans needs to be.
So hopefully the Freedom Caucus, MAGA America First sentiment grows. Hopefully Liz Cheney is replaced and you take the chair. But you mentioned the states and you mentioned the push for election integrity. Can you tell us, is there any good news? What signs are you seeing? Because in those battleground states where the vote flipped magically in the period of one night when the voting stopped, those state houses that have the constitutional mandate to run those elections were actually GOP state houses, and they failed to do the work that was required of them. So in the states, are you seeing enough of the kind of trending that's happening with you and your colleagues here in D.C. to build the America First coalition, but at a state level? What is the evidence?
Well, we need to see more. Obviously, the actions that were taken in the Georgia state legislature were very important and critical. That should have happened before the election. but that is moving in the right direction. I know that was a big disappointment to all of the millions of Americans who voted for President Trump. That should have been handled before the election. In Arizona, the fact that the state Senate voted for the audit, that is incredibly important that that move forward and the American people get those answers. The fact that Joe Biden's Department of Justice is attacking that audit, it just tells you everything you need to know in that what are the Democrats so afraid of? We want truth and transparency. The audit will provide those answers. But we have a long way to go. In the state of New York, we have very problematic elections. We had absentee ballot counting that was later than any other state in the nation. So Republicans and conservatives have to get this done. And we also need to make sure that we have conservative judges that understand the importance of the Constitution and understand the importance of ballot security, ballot integrity, and overall rebuilding the faith of the American people in our elections.
Well, we are praying for you that the right decision, the right vote occurs on Wednesday. In the meantime, support this lady, follow this lady at Elise Stefanik and Rep Stefanik. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you're enjoying the show, make it possible. Support those who support us, especially great, great patriots like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, 51 million sold, a truth teller, a great American. He'll give you up to 66% off if you use my name there. Boycotting his products, go straight to the website mypillow.com or call 800-829-8468. mypillow.com, promo code GORKA. Stay on this channel. Relief Factor. Are you in everyday pain like I was for 9 years, almost a decade with my lower back pain? Do what I did. Take Relief Factor. After 2 weeks of taking Relief Factor in the morning and the evening, my pain left me and I'm still pain-free 2 years later. That's the story for tens of thousands of Americans. And if you've tried everything else, please, I implore you, try Relief Factor. It's so easy to find out if it would work for you. Order the 3-week quick starter pack by calling 800-500-8384. The only thing you've got to lose is the pain. $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Do it now. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Are you having a bad day? It could be worse. You could be grading papers on employment law. I won't tell you why I mentioned that, but it could be worse. We still are halfway through the show and we haven't even got to Josh Hawley and Matt Gaetz. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do not touch that dial. Now we have a good friend of the show. It's been far too long since she's been on. She's with one of our favorite outlets, The Federalist, thefederalist.com, senior contributor, Margot Cleveland. Welcome back to America First.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so you've written, I mean, it's a pretty extensive piece. It's at least... Wow, 2,000 words maybe. What you need to know about Twitter's lawsuit against Texas, which is up on Friday, or maybe not so up since what you told me in the break. So tell us, what is happening with Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, and Twitter, and what does it bode for the future potentially?
Great. So we're going to have to kind of do a step back. The lawsuit is Twitter suing AG Paxton. But what prompted this was when Twitter started doing its election interference of, you know, preventing things from posting and being shared, the New York Post story, for instance, you saw complaints being filed with the Attorney General's office in Texas saying, look, this is deceptive. They say that they are not targeting conservatives, but they are. Well, Texas, like most states, has something called the Deceptive Trade Practices Act, which declares practices that are deceptive to consumers, are unfair, misleading, are
illegal. Like scams, in layman's terms. Scams.
Right, exactly. And they have an office in Texas that investigates this. They opened an investigation on Twitter along with some of the other social media giants, and then they issued what's called a civil investigative demand, which is basically saying, hey, we want you to give us these documents so that we can investigate.
That's the state of Texas making that demand.
Right, correct. Okay. So Texas does this, and they do it to Twitter, who is aptly based out California. So they said, we want to see these documents. And at first, Twitter was talking to Texas and cooperating, got a few extensions. And then Twitter runs to a San Francisco federal court, files a lawsuit there against the attorney general from Texas, saying that they have violated, or he has violated, his First Amendment, Twitter's First Amendment rights to free speech, and that they're retaliating against Twitter. And this is the part that I chuckled at when I'm reading it. Part of Twitter's argument for why there was retaliation was because Paxton didn't like its editorial decisions. And in their complaint, Twitter actually says disclosing this is going to harm us by disclosing our moderation policies. And here I'm quoting from their complaint. These moderation policies and procedures are functionally equivalent to the internal editorial decision-making processes of news organizations. Just as newspapers and magazines carefully guard their internal deliberations about what news they see as fit to print or what op-eds they will print, so too does Twitter guard its internal deliberations.
But Manga, we've been told that these aren't publishers.
Exactly. And that's why when I saw that, I literally burst out laughing. And I thought, oh, this is just rich. They're arguing that their First Amendment rights are being violated because it's interfering with their discretion, just like a newspaper. And yet they have this Section 231 immunity. Now, of course, when Twitter started briefing some of the arguments, they drop a footnote and say, oh, yeah, you know, this isn't a 230 case. Don't worry about that. But it still is.
Referring
amazing.
To the Section 230 from the 1990s that gives them qualified immunity based upon the fact that they're not publishers, they are
correct.
Social media platforms, when they're actually saying exactly the opposite. And also, you're the legal professor, you're the expert. How is releasing your guidelines for censorship, how is that impinging upon your First Amendment rights?
And this is where Twitter is turning it to a retaliatory investigation. They're saying that Paxton is investigating because he doesn't like how Twitter is exercising this discretion. So really what you have is two different stories going forward. Paxton's team is saying, we are investigating Twitter because they're lying about how they decide what can be published. And Twitter is saying Paxton is investigating us because we are targeting conservatives and they don't like it. So you kind of, and of course they're not saying we're targeting conservatives, but they don't like how we are deciding what policies can go up, what posts can go up. So you really have two completely different lines of attack going on.
And you, before you came on, you mentioned the latest development. What's happened now?
Sure. So the briefing, meaning the attorneys write these long briefs and they give them to the court, they had turned those in, and the hearing was set for tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And there was a order that the court issued. It was dated on the 3rd, so it was dated Monday, but it just hit the public docket. And the court said, oh, don't worry, I don't need you guys to come in. What you wrote is sufficient for me to decide the case.
So this is the federal judge in California?
Correct. That's the federal judge in California who's going to be doing it in the briefs. And even though what I put up, like you said, it was over 2,000 words. It was pretty thorough. It was, you know, a thread of what the briefs were. The briefs were really meaty. And I was really shocked she did this because there are actually four preliminary questions for the judge to get to before she even gets to this question of, does Twitter get a preliminary injunction? So your listeners need to understand what Twitter is saying. Twitter is saying to this federal judge in California, you must tell the Attorney General of Texas he cannot investigate Twitter because it's violating Twitter's First Amendment rights. And that is a pretty big ask. And for the court to decide this without hearing, if she grants it, would be, at least in my mind, a little troubling because it's a tough question.
We've only got a few seconds left. Sure. We're talking to Margot Cleveland, senior contributor of The Federalist. Follow her at Prof. MJ Cleveland. That's Professor Prof. MJ Cleveland on Twitter. What's your prediction? What's your expectation?
Oh, my gosh. It really is unpredictable. There's so many issues that I do not know where she's going to go. If I just went from the gut, she's a California Bill Clinton appointee,
right,
I'm going to say she's going to grant it. But if you get in the meat of it, the right answer, I'd say she's going to throw it out and say, this is not something that is ripe for us to decide. We need to let the Texas investigation play out.
Well, thank you for giving us amazing Precy. Let's post the whole article on our Twitter and Facebook pages. What you need to know about Twitter's lawsuit against Texas up Friday. God bless A.G. Paxton. That's what we need more of. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel.
That was the right thing to do. He's the disinformer in chief. He told the biggest lie of all time, which led to an insurrection by getting his followers to believe that the election was a fake. It was an outrageous moment with a number of Republicans calling him out on it at the time. And so, as I said on that inaugural stage, this is the time for our democracy to pick itself up, dust itself off, move forward. And we do not need more disinformation from Donald Trump or, for that matter, from others who are spreading disinformation about the vaccine.
Amy Klobuchar, we don't need Donald Trump on social media because we don't need a disinformation like Russia collusion. What about that disinformation? Is she the one that eats salad with a comb? Is that her, Shad?
Yeah. Do people know that story?
I think we should delight them.
We should delight them. So,
and isn't there staplers as well?
Yeah, so she's famously
she's nice.
Mean to anybody who's ever worked for her ever, right? And it's been spinned in some ways to be like, she's no nonsense. But famously, she sent out one of her interns or, you know, Hill staffers to go get her a salad.
Yeah.
The young woman goes, gets the salad, comes back,
right,
brings it to her, and she says, well, where's the fork? She says, oh, sorry. Sorry, Ms. Klobuchar, I will go get you a fork. And she says, no, I'm going to eat it with a comb and make you watch. So she took a comb out of her purse and started eating the salad with the comb to make some sort of point?
A, creepy. B, how do you eat with a comb?
Slowly, I guess.
I don't know.
Like, carefully. Yeah. You know, hopefully she didn't use it after.
Was it an afro comb with tines that you could actually... You know,
or maybe she used like a spoon. I have no idea. All I'm hoping is she didn't get, you know, like Russian dressing in her hair.
Me, who was that neocon in the Bush administration who licked his comb before he combed his head? Do you remember that video? Oh, that was creepy. It was the assistant defense secretary. Okay. What is it with DC? You're all weirdos. Okay. And then she likes to throw staplers at people, right?
Yeah. If anybody gets her angry at all, she goes into an incredible rage. Incredible rage. Which, you know, is a great thing to have in a leader.
Oh, yeah. It's super. I mean, that's what Churchill is famous for. Okay, let's go from creepy and weird to just absurd. I want to play the whole thing again because it is so indicative of what Biden has wrought in just 3 months. This is the CIA's latest recruiting video.
When I was 17, I quoted Zora Neale Hurston's How It Feels to Be Colored Me in my college application essay. The line that spoke to me stated simply, I am not tragically colored. There is no sorrow dammed up in my soul nor lurking behind my eyes. I do not mind at all. At 17, I had no idea what life would bring, but Sora's sentiment articulated so beautifully how I felt as a daughter of immigrants then and now. Nothing about me was or is tragic. I am perfectly made. I can wax eloquent on complex legal issues in English while also belting Guayaquil de mis amores in Spanish. I can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other. I am a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I earned my way in, and I earned my way up the ranks of this organization. I am educated, qualified, and competent. And sometimes I struggle. I struggle feeling like I could do more, be more to my two sons. And I struggle leaving the office when I feel there's so much more to do. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance. I am proud of me, full stop. My parents left everything they knew and loved to expose me to opportunities they never had. Because of them, I stand here today a proud first-generation Latina and officer at CIA. I am unapologetically me. I want you to be unapologetically you, whoever you are. Know your worth. Command your space. Mija, you're worth it.
She no longer has issues with imposter syndrome because she's totally cool with being an imposter now. She's embraced it. I don't know whether... Should I laugh or should I get really apoplectic? She's unfit to serve this nation. And in that 2-minute long recruiting video, not one mention was made of what she should be doing. Not boasting about her excellence and her mental deficiencies, but what she's doing to fight our enemies. But at least now we have an excellent replacement for waterboarding. When you capture that HVT, that high-value target, just play them that ad on a loop, and they will crack. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First and Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Guys, it's official. Biden's congressional address was a declaration of war on small business. In his first 100 days, he's pushed for a massive tax increase and also a $2 trillion so-called infrastructure plan, which is really a $2 trillion tax hike. He wants to make it harder for small businesses by mandating a $15 per hour minimum wage, all while bullying employers to turn over personal information to their union bosses. Let's represent, let's assist those who actually make the lifeblood of America flow, and that's the small businesses. One group is fighting hard for them. It's the Job Creators Network. If you own a small business, if you've worked for a small business, please support them. Do your part. Just check out JCN's army of small business advocates. Do your part to help them help all of America. Go to joinjcn.com today. That's joinjcn.com. We are delighted after having not only Elise Stefanik on the show and in the next hour, Senator Josh Hawley, Matt Gaetz is back on America First. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sebastian. And I wanted to let the America First listeners behind the scenes into the battle for the Republican Party that is ongoing right now in the House Republican Conference. Elise Stefanik sounded great on America First Radio earlier. She is trying to be conference chair. But you know what, Sebastian? We told them so. We told them 4 months ago that Liz Cheney could not be a leader in the modern Republican Party.
So what took so long? What is the logjam, Congressman?
Well, Kevin McCarthy stood before the entire conference and begged and pleaded for support for Liz Cheney. And thus, two-thirds of the Republicans in Congress voted to keep Liz Cheney. And you had folks like Jim Jordan and myself saying, this is untenable. This will not work. You cannot have 90% of the party that wants to pursue election integrity as a goal and then have Liz Cheney saying that if we have questions about vote tabulations, all of a sudden we have to present ourselves before some truth and reconciliation commission like we're some genocide-ridden third world country. That's not America. We're allowed to ask these questions. You cannot have 90% of our movement supporting Donald Trump as a leading political figure and have Liz Cheney take every opportunity to kick him in the shin. And so I think that we saw a lot more clearly and a lot sooner the untenable nature of this vaudeville routine that Kevin McCarthy and Liz Cheney were playing out. So I give the minority leader credit for now recognizing we've got to rip the Band-Aid off. We've got to make a change in the leadership. It appears as though Liz Cheney is not going to fight that change. And hey, you know, the forever war with our conference might be the first one Liz Cheney is in support of ending. And I would greatly welcome that. I think that having a unified team to take on the socialists and Democrats is critically important for 2022 and America.
All right. Well, he's given you the inside baseball in his latest piece. Our buddy Raheem Kassam has published it at the National Pulse. We are going to put it up on our Twitter and Facebook pages right now. It's exclusive. Rep. Matt Gaetz, we must do better than Liz Cheney. But Congressman, it's not just about her and Donald Trump and her vote to impeach him. This is a woman who in the Washington Post just talked about Republicans as being in a personality cult worshipping Donald Trump. I have to ask you the question, because you're at the forefront. You've been fighting since the get-go. Who's winning the war for the soul of the GOP? Is it MAGA? Is it America First? Or is it the RINOs?
It depends on the geography, Sebastian, because inside the Beltway, inside the swamp of Washington, D.C., the establishment still has strong control over major elements of the Republican Party. That is their home territory. But when you get to the 99% of the rest of America, when you get out to places like the Villages in Florida, where on Friday, tomorrow, Marjorie Taylor Greene and I are having a rally, when you get out to places like Cheyenne, Wyoming, where I went and rallied nearly 1,000 people in favor of the America First pro-Trump agenda.
In Liz Cheney's backyard, right?
That's right. And so there is this disconnect, and it is wholly based on geography, because once people get in the swamp of Washington, they get kind of sucked in and the establishment becomes very appealing. And so we've got to continue, I think, to show that vibrance and that energy throughout America. But it is a strong sign that more and more members of Congress, when they're back in their districts, can no longer explain why they've allowed Liz Cheney to continue to speak for them. When Liz Cheney attacks our election integrity efforts, when she attacks Donald Trump, she is not doing so as a spokesperson for our movement, and that's why this change is so necessary. So we've got more work to do. We cannot simply say, oh, well, Liz isn't going to be the conference chair. That means MAGA is winning throughout Washington. I think we've got to continue to see these circumstances where the establishment is trying to reconstitute power under the umbrella of the Biden administration and Donald Trump's departure from Washington.
She sounded very confident. Steve Scalise has come out swinging in approval for her, which is great. Our buddy Matt Ball from Breitbart says it's a shoo-in. She'll get the vote on Wednesday. There are some issues with her voting record in the past with Elise Stefanik, especially on the Equity Act. Are you comfortable with this move? Is this going to take the conference in the right direction, Matt Gaetz?
Elise Stefanik is a brilliant woman. She does her homework. She is incredibly well prepared. And we saw the best of Elise Stefanik during impeachment.
Yeah, she was a rock star.
Tough questions.
Yeah, she was a rock star.
Stood her ground.
Yeah.
Now, that is not to say that I agree with Elise on every policy issue. I think she would say the same about me. You and I, Seb, are likely more aligned on policy than perhaps either of us would be with Elise. And I think that you know, we have to show that MAGA can be a broad movement where we take people in who want to continue to advance the Republican brand, but we should also be comfortable expressing our disagreement. For example, Elise was critical of Donald Trump's efforts to go from 35,000 troops in Germany to 25,000 troops in Germany. She and I had a debate about that. We had disagreement about that. I tend to think that following the end of the Second World War, we could probably hold Germany with 25,000 troops. And so there'll be circumstances where we'll have some disagreement. But what I can say about Elise is that she will always be prepared and sharp and effective.
Okay, Matt, we're out of time. But I want to say one thing, okay? We can have a big tent for MAGA, but no rhinos. Agreed?
No rhinos. Absolutely agreed, Seth.
Okay.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Good.
Again.
God bless. Follow this man, Rep. Matt Gaetz, on Twitter, Rep. Matt Gaetz, and read his article. We're posting it from the National Pulse right now on our Twitter and Facebook pages. This is America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Just listen to one of the people who uses Relief Factor like I do, Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Just those words, my hip pain is gone. Whether it's your shoulder, your back, your knee, please give this a chance. What have you got to lose? Except the pain. Order the 3-week quick starter pack right now for just $19.95 at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. Tens of thousands of Americans have made the choice. You should be the next one. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
Hold the presses! Breaking news! We found an activity that Jeff and I can agree upon. What is that activity, Jeff?
You are describing a ride. Where is it? At Universal Studios?
Universal Studios.
Yes. What's it called?
Tower of Terror.
Yes, you explained it. It seemed like one of the activities, we don't have a lot, that we would enjoy, other than cigars. And I said, hey, there's something I would do.
So you'd go on a terrifying ride with me if we had good cigars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sold. We've got to make it happen. But I can't do it. I can't take time off this show. I have to tell you guys, I love our guest hosts. I love them all. But I hate leaving the show. It's like a mother leaving their child. They don't want to do it. So maybe we'll have to broadcast from inside the Tower of Terror. Okay, let's go to your calls. Let's go to Bob in Denver, line two. You want to talk about that CIA video, Bob?
Dr. Gorka, post May Day celebrations to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you kindly, I think.
No, this is all I needed to make it, because as a Hispanic male in his senior years...
Are you intersectionally Hispanic or are you just regular Hispanic?
Regular Hispanic. I couldn't tell you what intersectionally was if you paid me. So... The whole thing.
But hang on, Bob from Denver, who's Hispanic. Why aren't you a Roberto like Mr. O'Rourke?
Because I was raised by Whitey. But as a
oh no, that, did you recover?
Yes, very much so. multi-degreed Hispanic, heterosexual, conservative. I'm not.
I thought
you
those
how
don't
many
exist.
Kids I have.
Hispanic conservatives, do you even exist? Am I talking to a recording? Is this a holograph? Is this a hologram of an audio variety?
One of my friends who's on the other side says I'm far right of Darth Vader.
What brings you to our shores today, Bob?
Other than talking to you first time of the year, this thing is just... basically a recruitment for somebody to kidnap her kids, blackmail her, so she could become their Snowden.
It's so true. That 2 minutes was just a setup for somebody to blackmail her. All the information about her. It's the kind of stuff that if comes out on your SF-86, your clearance form, would mean you're banished. You're never going to get a clearance.
No. And so I was expecting she could do technical or computer stuff instead of putting a kid to sleep and changing the other one's diaper. So she works in the nursery? I'm totally confused here. That is just...
That famous CIA nursery. Bob, I if you're a first-time caller, that's the kind of first-time caller we want. Stay on the line. I want to chat with you in the break. Hispanic cisgender conservative? I mean, that's better than a unicorn. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Don't go anywhere. After our guest, Josh Hawley, I'll be back to your calls. Mary, Judy, stay on the line. Senator Hawley, Governor Greitens, and you here on America First.